The following broadcast is a presentation of the Mountford Free Methodist Church in Decatur, Illinois. Join us Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. or visit us on the web at decaturfmc.org.
As a church, we've been looking at prayer. And as a church, we've been looking at that we have to be a church that is devoted to prayer. We have to be people that are devoted to prayer. We've been looking at the phrase, you will only go as far spiritually as your prayer life will take you. I believe that. If you want to be have a close, intimate relationship with Jesus, and if you are not willing to pray, then guess what? It's probably not going to happen. If you want to get closer to Jesus, you pray. The more you communicate, the more you pray, the closer that we get to Him. You will only go as far spiritually as your prayer life will take you. So we've been looking at, the truth is, some of us, we just don't know how to pray. And I hear that so often from people. I just don't know how to pray. Or people just assume that they know how to pray and they pray the wrong way. Where a lot of our prayers, the wrong way to pray is to pray, I want, God, I want this, give me this. And we cry out to Him all of our requests. And there's nothing behind it. But a prayer that Jesus taught us to pray is this intimate prayer where we fall in love with Him over and over and over again. And so He taught us a prayer. He said in the Sermon on the Mount, He said, now let me teach you how to pray. And He went through this prayer to teach the people, to teach us how to pray. We know it today as the Lord's Prayer. If you know it, say it with me. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So the first thing that we see, and the first thing that we talked about, when we pray, we say His name. Why? Because there is power in the name of Jesus. And so we proclaim His name. We pray either Jesus, He said, our Father. The word that He used is Abba, Daddy, an intimate relationship. So we proclaim His name. The next thing that we learn the next week is we need to praise His name. Why? Because His name deserves to be praised. And many times when we come before Him in prayer, it's too much of the I wants and not as much of the praise you, God, for who you are. We need to praise Him. How often do you just stop and just to praise Him? Why? Because you love Him. Because He's there. And to proclaim His name. And the next thing that we learned is we need to pray in His will. Why? Because prayer has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with Him. God, may Your will be done. And then last week, we talked about praying that God will provide our needs. Not our wants, our needs. And this leads us to this week. This week, it leads us to the line, forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. Other people might know it as forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Now, first things first. Why do some say debts and some say trespasses? Well, Trespasses is what you normally see in like the King James Version. It's interesting though that trespasses you do not see in the Lord's Prayer itself. You see it right after the Lord's Prayer in verses 14 and 15. In the Lord's Prayer itself, it uses the word debts. That's why at our church, and I'm not saying trespasses is wrong. It's not. It's the same thing. We're going to get to that. But that's why we say debts, because it's the actual Lord's Prayer there. The word, the Greek word for debt is ophelima. And what this means is it means to owe, that we owe something, right? That's what a debt is, that we owe something to someone. And that's the same way what this verse is talking to us about. That Jesus, whenever we sin, we owe him something. But guess what happens? He takes our debt away. He forgives us of our debt. I know for us, we celebrated when we got completely debt-free for the first time. We paid off all of our college loans. We did a little debt celebration, a little debt dance. Wouldn't it be great is if this world will look at us and say, oh, your debt, completely wipe free. Wouldn't that be great? That's what Jesus did for us. He paid it all. He wiped our debts away. So that's what debt means. The word trespass is the word periptoma. What this word means is this word basically means to cross the line. That's what trespassing is, right? To cross the line. Guess what? That's what sin is as well. That whenever you cross the line with Jesus, forgive us. Whenever someone crosses the line with you, forgive them. Basically, this all means the same thing. Basically, what it all comes down to, what it's saying is, we need to forgive because he has forgiven us. Basically, it means know the grace of God and show others that same grace. That's what life is all about, isn't it? It's to know the grace of God in your life, in our life. But not just keep all the grace in, but now to show that same grace and that same love and that same forgiveness to other people. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. This morning, as I was kind of focusing on this phrase, and as I was praying about this phrase throughout this week, I felt God call me to preach more in the direction of him forgiving us. But I want you to understand before we go into that, of what the scripture says, is it says, if you cannot forgive somebody else, how can God forgive you? That is really hard to hear sometimes. That is the word of God. It is not the word of Paul Alf. It's the word of God. If you cannot forgive somebody else, how do you expect God to forgive you? And so what I want to focus on this morning is I want us to focus on Psalm 51. Psalm 51 is a cry of David. This is one of my favorite psalms because this hits so close to home for me and for us all. This was a psalm when I was in high school and college that I woke up every morning saying and reading. It was my prayer because I needed it. because we need it. Before we go into this psalm, just because I like to do it, help me out here. Raise your hand if you've ever sinned in your life. See, we're all in the same boat. For the couple of you that I saw that didn't raise your hand, please come and speak to me because I want to help you with lying. Now let me ask you this question. Raise your hand if you have ever felt the grace and the forgiveness of God from those sins. There it is. We are all in the same boat. We've all made mistakes. We have all sinned. We are all short of his glory. But because of his grace, he reaches out to us and he helps us. So this is why this message can be preached every single week. So come back next week as I preach the same message. No, I'm kidding. I won't. Because it's every week we need to go through these words. It's every week that we need to pray this prayer. Maybe it's every day. Maybe for some it's every hour. To give you a little background, this prayer was cried out from David when he was going through a time of sorrow. The background of the story, you probably know the story. David was a king. David was in his palace. He was walking around on the roof of his palace and he overlooked a woman who was bathing. Her name was Bathsheba, which I find it interesting that she's bathing Bath and her name is Bathsheba. Never mind. Her name was Bathsheba. It wasn't just the, oops, I shouldn't have seen that. It was a look deeper, lusting, wanting more. David then calls one of his servants and he said, who is this? Who is that woman who lives across the way? Oh, her name is Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah, who is fighting in your army. I would love to meet her. He wrote a little note and gave it to his servant. Will you give this to her? Maybe I can meet her. Bathsheba got the note. Back then, whenever a king would ask you to come and to have an experience to meet the king, you jump on it. So she came. And it was there at his palace when he slept with her. Didn't think anything of it. Didn't think it was going to harm anything. Until one day, we don't see this in the scripture, but we would guess that he probably got a note. I'm pregnant. Love B. Now David, his sin is starting to catch up to him. Have you ever been to that point where your sin is starting to catch up to you? I've been to that point before. When I was a kid, my mom told us all, do not eat the chocolate chip cookies that I just made. Well, I was tempted. And guess what? I'm like, oh, if I just eat one, she won't notice. But the one was so good. And it led to two and three and four. She came back home and she said, who ate the chocolate chip cookies? Mom, it wasn't me. I didn't do it. And she looked a little bit closer and she said, what are those brown spots right around your mouth? Maybe chocolate chips. My sin has caught up to me. We know how that is, right? When our sin catches up to us. David felt that. So he had a plan. Plan A. He called and asked for Uriah, her husband, to come and to meet with him. And David said, Uriah, thank you so much for all the time you spent out in the field. This is what I want you to do. I want you to just to go home, spend an evening with your wife, put your feet up, have a day off. Well, when Uriah left, he went back to the fields. He never went home. David was frustrated and sent for Uriah to come back and said, well, why didn't you go home? And he said, King, I can't. My men are fighting. If I would leave them right now, if I would go home for a day, I would desert them. I can't do that. I have to be in the fields. He tried plan B. He got him drunk. And then he said, oh, now just go home. Sleep it off. Lay with your wife. You see, David wanted to make sure that everyone thought it was Uriah's, not his. But Uriah wouldn't do it. He went back to the field. So now David went to plan C. Maybe this was even plan Z. I don't know. But he sent a message out. And he said, I want Uriah to be in the front lines of the battle. And when we come upon the army, what I want you to do is I want you to back off and leave Uriah by himself. It was a death trap. That was David's way of killing Uriah, one of his best soldiers. When the letter came back to David and said, Uriah is dead, he shrugged it off and said, well, you win some, you lose some. After some time of Bathsheba going through time of mourning, David then allowed her to be his wife. And they were married. Now, this isn't the end of it all. Because luckily, David had a good friend who spoke truth. If you don't have a good friend that can speak truth into your life, you need one. David had Nathan. Nathan came to David and he said, David, let me tell you what happened. There was a wealthy man who had all of these sheep. And then there was this poor man who had one sheep. He cared for his sheep. He protected him. He named him. But what happened was this man who had all the power came and made this other poor man give him his one sheep. David was furious. How could this be? We need justice. I have to do something about this. And then Nathan very calmly said, David, you are that man. You used your power to do some very bad things, and you have sinned against God. Right away, David was heartbroken. He realized it. So these are the words that David cried out to God. Read them with me. Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. We can just stop there. That's good enough. This was my prayer every day. I felt like every day of my life I needed to wake up with this prayer. Wash me, cleanse me. I need your grace. Verse 3, for I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me from hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice again. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out my iniquity. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a steadfast spirit within me. I love verse 11. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Basically, what David is saying is you could take anything else away. Just don't take you. I need your presence. That's all I need. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. The heart of David crying out to God, please forgive me. A prayer of repentance. So what sin do you have in your life? Maybe a sin that just keeps on coming back, that maybe keeps on haunting you. Maybe it's not a huge sin. Maybe it's what people might look at are little sins, gossip, the things that you think about. Maybe you don't even have to say it, but the things that you think about, the things that are in your heart. Lust, looking at someone a little bit longer than you should with those thoughts, pornography, addictions. What is it? We are all sinners in need of his grace. Maybe the lack of grace or the lack of forgiveness to other people. Maybe it's lying. Maybe it's filthy language. I have a good friend of mine. He stood up in our wedding. I asked permission if I could share this, and he said, absolutely. This last week, or a week and a half ago, while we were at camp, I saw him again. My friend has been struggling for a very long time. He's really kind of went off the deep end. Every addiction, he's pretty much struggled with. I heard reports, I think about 4 or 5 months ago, that my friend had a second DUI. And I've been praying for him. I've talked with him many, many times. Pretty much what I've gotten throughout this whole thing is, oh, yeah, I got to get better. I got to get better. I'm going to get better. I pray for him often. This time, he's talking different. He's acting different. A week and a half ago. He said, since my DUI. He said, but what you don't know, what my lawyers kept away from that is when they also caught me, they also found some other substances in the van or in the car as well. I'm in some deep trouble. But he said, now the government is keeping me accountable. Every time, if I ever want to drive somewhere, I have to breathe into the machine to make sure that I can drive. At any point, my parole officer can come over and do a test. And if I have any kind of alcohol in my body, I'm done. It's kept me accountable. He said, I have been sober since. And I said, that's so great. But you still don't get it, do you? He said, get what? I said, you're held accountable because you got caught. Get to a point when you are just devastated because you are letting God down. That you love him so much that you no longer want to let him down again. And he said, yeah, I'm starting to get to that point. But I still have farther to go. When I was at camp, the speaker at camp was Mark Van Valen, a good friend of mine, a pastor at Spring Arbor Free Methodist Church, a man with a lot of wisdom. Mark Van Valen shared 4 levels of sorrow that a person goes through when you face sin. And I want to share those levels with you because I helped my friend with those levels as well. The first level of sorrow that we all face when we face sin is the first one is we grieve over our sin when it hurts us. You got to that point, right? My friend got to that point where his sin hurt him. He got caught. And so he's going through the first sorrow of the sin. He was grieving over the sin because it hurt him. And then the second one, and my friend was just going through the second one as well. The second one is we grieve over our sin because it hurts others. Now our sin has not just hurt us, but now it's hurting others. In David's case, now it's hurting Bathsheba. She was mourning after now her husband is dead. There's somebody else now who is hurting because of the mistakes that I have made. And that's the second level of sorrow with our sin. I want you to understand this, though. Our sin always, it always hurts somebody else. It never just affects you. It always affects somebody else. The third thing, the third sorrow that we might face is we grieve over our sin because it separates us from God. This is what I was trying to help my friend understand. You have this sin in your life and you are going through the first two, but now we need you to grieve over your sin because it's separating you from God. Verse 11 in our text, do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. You don't want to let God down. You don't want to hurt him. And the fourth one, we grieve over our sin because it dishonors God. Verse 4 says, against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. 2 Corinthians 5:9 says, I make it a goal to please you and you only. Let's please God. Few people get to 3 and 4. Most people will only stay at 1 or 2, 1 and 2. But let me tell you, 3 and 4 is where repentance happens. When you get to 3 and 4, when you start seeing how it affects you and God, that's when you can turn from your wicked ways. That's when you say, enough of this. I want to do it. Why? Because I'm a child of God and I am tired of letting my daddy down. He loves me. He has given me grace upon grace upon grace, and I keep on letting him down. Do you know that the Bible says that we have power to overcome any sin? Do you know that? If you or me, once you hear that you have power to overcome any sin, you should just say, amen, yes. There you go. David knows how to do it. So let's try that again. Maybe David can lead us this time. You have power over any sin. Amen. He has given you power and dominion over any sin in your life. It's like that monkey trap where it's like this circular thing with a little hole and it has a banana in it, and a monkey will come by and put his fists in and grab the banana, but the hole is only big enough to allow his fist to squeeze in, his hand to squeeze in, once it makes a fist, it gets caught. All the monkey has to do is to let go of the banana and he is free. But he won't do it. It's the same way for us. I'm not calling you a monkey. But all you have to do is you're holding on to the sin. And all Jesus is saying is let go. Let go of your sin and you are free. Let go of this bondage, of this burden, of this thing that keeps on eating at you. Let go of it and you are free. Many people are able to find forgiveness from God, but find it harder to forgive yourself. Or maybe to forgive others. But when we experience God's love, it helps us to love others. When we experience his grace, it helps us to show grace to others. When we truly experience his forgiveness, it helps us to forgive one another. There is victory in Jesus. There is power in his name. Like that song said that we sang this morning, Jesus' name will break every stronghold. Freedom is ours when we call his name. There's victory in Jesus. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast love within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. God, help that to be our prayer. God, if there's one person here, which I know there's several, because we're human. But God, if there's one person here that is focused on a sin in their life, and the sin is a stronghold in their life. Lord, I pray that you will give him or her the power to overcome it. For it's in your name that we have power to overcome any sin. It's in your name, the name of Jesus, that we have victory in Jesus. So, Lord, forgive us for our mistakes. Thank you for your grace. Help us to show grace to others. Thank you for your forgiveness. Help us to forgive one another. God, we are here just to say we love you. We don't want to let you down. Lord, I pray right now that you will speak to each and every one of us. Maybe there's a sin that we don't even know that's in our life. Lord, will you reveal that to us right now? Will you search our hearts? Will you help us to see and to know a sin that is there, that we need to get rid of, that we need to confess, that we need to repent? As the worship team comes up, we're going to play a song for you. It's the same prayer of David. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And as we sing this song together, I want you to know that the altars are open. If you just need to come and spend time with him, but allow this to be your prayer. As we cry out the same prayer as David, allow this to be a time where you are searching your heart and that you have that same prayer as David cried, create in us. So as we sing this, open up your hearts and allow Jesus to come and to fill you and to free you. I truly believe that there is freedom in Christ. There's freedom for you this morning. Let's sing this together. Create.